Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message.
Good afternoon. How's everybody doing today? Awesome. Well, we're happy to be with you this afternoon. My name is Judah Crowder. This is my brother Jonah. We're pastors at Multiplied Church, the Lake Norman location, and we're going to lead, we're going to lead some worship today. Feel free to sing along if you'd like, or keep eating if you're eating. We just want to facilitate an atmosphere today for the Lord to move. God, we honor you. We pray that as we enter into this holy week and remember your death and your resurrection, that you would be with us and you would honor us and help us to continue pursuing you in every avenue of our life. Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. But believe there's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Just one word, you heal what's broken inside. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. My word.
words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, when all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Of your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
It says in the Bible, I will command my soul to bless the Lord. I love this song because the chorus says, when all I have is a hallelujah, when all I have is a praise. In my own life, I've had to tell myself, everything is falling apart right now, and I don't want to praise. I don't want to sing. I don't want to give honor and glory to the Lord because of what I'm going through. And I have to get back to that point where I have to command my soul to bless the Lord. I eat and drink water every day, whether I want to or not, because I know that's what keeps my body alive. Spiritually, I'm going to command my soul every day to bless the Lord, because I know that's what keeps my spirit alive and in tune with God. There's something to be said about praising even when you don't want to. There's something to be said about giving glory to God even when it feels like your life is falling apart. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." A lot of times we stop there, but we leave out the next verse. It says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." In my own experience, and take it or leave it, in times where I have had the most difficulty, it's because I leaned on my own understanding. I was wise in my own eyes, and I had to get back to that point where I could say, all I have is a hallelujah. But I'm going to offer that to God, and He will accept that. Because it's my praise that brings glory to God. And it brings glory to God whether my situation is good or bad. And so sometimes you just have to get to that point where you're willing to say, "So I throw up my hands and praise You again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Set for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah." Lord, I pray for this time. I pray that You would help us to honor You in everything that we have and everything that we do. And when our souls are tired and all we have is a hallelujah, I pray that we would still be bold enough to raise that and still be bold enough to give You the glory and trust that all things truly do work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, and to trust that we can believe that You have our best interest at heart and will bring about Your plans when we surrender. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to read some scripture here. It's Matthew 27, 32 through 44. Jesus is crucified. "As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, He refused to drink it. When they had crucified Him, they divided up His clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over Him. Above His head, they placed the written charge against Him: 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Two rebels were crucified with Him, one on His right and one on His left. Those who passed by hurled insults at Him, shaking their heads. They also said, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross, if You are the Son of God.' In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked Him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but He can't save Himself. He's the King of Israel. Let Him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in Him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue Him now if He wants Him. For He said, 'I am the Son of God.' In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with Him also heaped insults on Him."
Mark 15, 33 through 41. "At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have You forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, He's calling Elijah.' Someone ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on the staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. 'Now leave Him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes and takes Him down,' he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were there also.
Well, welcome to the Easter Fellowship lunch. Thank you to the Crowder brothers. They'll be back in a minute. John and Joe for reading some scripture. We're celebrating God's promise this weekend all across the globe. People will gather, Christians, and celebrate what I believe is the greatest story ever told. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but we never speak of Jesus' name in past tense. You ever notice that? We will worship someone who claimed to be God in human flesh. But not only that, what makes him different from any other religious figure is he actually conquered death. Prophesied in the old that he would come and be a payment for our sin, that he would take the judgment that we deserve on himself, and he would die a brutal death by crucifixion, but that he would rise from the grave to prove that he is the one true king. Not an earthly king, but a spiritual king, but a spiritual father that would save us spiritually from spiritual death. And the reason we celebrate that as Christians is because this was a promise from God from long ago. So in just a few minutes, I'm going to walk us through the redemptive plan with just scripture in like 10 minutes. All through the Bible. It takes 6 hours to read the Bible front to back. That's if you can comprehend it all. But I'm going to read us through this and show us why it's important that on Sunday, we as Christians celebrate God's promise. Listen to this. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. He made Christ who knew no sin to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious loving kindness. In other words, God would leave his throne, dwell among us, live as a human, simply to save us. From what? Well, from what seems like a plan that went wrong. Think of this. There is a fulfillment to this promise, but where does that come from? Well, we read in the scriptures, and it's in your handout, man is created in God's image and is good. We see this, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, in creation. Then we see man is given free will, Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. We all like free will, right? Adam and Eve were given free will. In that free will, man chose to go their own way and not God's. They were tempted. We see in Genesis 3 by the serpent. We know to be Satan, the fallen angel, and he simply tempted them with words that made them activate that free will. You can do this or you can do that. And that's what free will looks like. But not only that, because of that, God brings judgment to man. We see in Genesis 6. And then God makes a way to forgive man through a promise. And that is the rest of the Bible telling that story. The whole entire Bible, from front to back, is about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about a redemptive plan to bring us back into relations with God. And so what does that look like in Scripture? Listen to this. First, God creates, Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and he validated it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning, and then a sixth day. Then we see God gives free will in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree in the garden, but only from the tree of the knowledge, recognition of good and evil, you shall not eat. Otherwise, on that day you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience." We see an activation here of the use of free will. You get to do this, but There's one thing I don't want you to do, and you're going to be free to make a decision. Then we see man is tempted. We see this in Genesis 3, but the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die, for God knows on that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, that is, you will have greater awareness, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil." The temptation has come to Eve, and now she has a choice, obey God or obey her own desires. Then God promises to crush evil and restore humanity. Why is that? Because Eve chose to go her own way in her own pride and eat of the fruit and offer it to Adam. It actually says, as soon as they did that, they noticed they were naked and ran and hid. All of a sudden, shame came upon them. And we see this, that God promises to crush this evil because they've brought sin into the world. They've brought evil into the world. And in this, God says, I will restore humanity. Why? Because when he created it, it was good. And they did something that brought evil into the world. And so with that, we see in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity, open hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed, your offspring, and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel. We see the first mention of the Savior, the Christ. And then with that promise, God's promise is this redemptive plan through a man named Abraham. We read that as we read through the book of Genesis. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I show you, and in you all the families, nations on earth will be blessed. What we're seeing here is actually a family tree of the nation of Israel, where eventually, born into it, if you read Matthew's 1, the genealogy of Jesus, Jesus is born, the long-awaited Messiah. And so through this promise, through Abraham comes Israel. Through Israel comes the Messiah, the Christ. How do we know this? Because we see it in John 3:16. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. See, Jesus is a long-awaited blessing from Abraham. To do what? To make all things new. See, Jesus going to the cross, as much as the world watched it and didn't per se want it to happen, especially his mother, he knew that what he was doing would make all things new. And so with that, Jesus takes the judgment of death we deserve on himself. And we see this in 1 John 2:2. And he, that same Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature, our worldliness, our lifestyle. And not for ours alone, but for also for the sins of all believers throughout the whole world. See, part of that redemptive plan. And those who trust Christ are released from the penalty of sin. You know what the penalty of sin is, right? Remember what God said. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. See, the penalty of sin is death. And that's why humanity dies physically. But not only that, we've died spiritually because of that day. And with that, those who trust Christ are released from the penalty of sin. Galatians 3:29. And if you belong to Christ, if you are in him, then you are Abraham's descendants and spiritual heirs according to God's promise. All the way back to the Old Testament. The beginning of Abram, renamed Abraham. A plan, a promise is started to fix the brokenness of humanity. And so Jesus defeats death by rising from the grave. We see Matthew 8:6. He is not here, this was spoken of at the gravesite. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said he would. Come see the place where he was lying. It's interesting, of the first people that saw that Jesus did rise from the grave were women. Why is that important? Because in that day, in that culture, women did not have a voice. But yet they were the first ones to have the voice to say, he is not here. Jesus' death was important in our faith because it had to happen for God's redemptive plan to work. And so we learn by this that all of us have sinned. Why do we need a Savior? Well, as Paul wrote to the Church of Rome, all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. Since the day in the garden, unfortunately, we're walking in our own brokenness, right? We're totally depraved without God, because he is good. We're totally depraved without his order, without his way. And ever since that day, man has been trying to go his own way, but God has made a way to fix that, to bring a Savior, to make us all new again, new creations, back to the original state that he would have us at the beginning. And so Jesus offers us what? A new life. Jonah, Judah, you guys can come back up. He offers us a new life. And this is the part about our faith this weekend, is the reason we celebrate it is because without it, we are dead in our sin. And so we should celebrate what Christ has done for us. Jesus offers us new life. And that's why we celebrate him. Listen to this. Paul wrote again to the Church of Rome, for the wages of sin is death, meaning the payment of sin is we die, right? The payment for Eve and Adam's sin is God said, you will die. If you eat, if you disobey me, you will die. The payment of that is we die. But, this is the best part, but the free gift of God, that is his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Jesus is the gift. Emmanuel, God with us, that he would come and God would not show mercy on him, he would show mercy on us, and that Christ would take our judgment on himself. All of your sin, all of the evil you've done, all of the thoughts, all of the things you've done in your life that are not pure and holy and are against God and his ways, Jesus said, I will take that on myself and bring about forgiveness to you. And so with that, we have to do what? Call on him. Call on him. And so Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, I love this, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer, right, will be saved. What are you going to be saved from? The penalty of sin. And so why do we celebrate this promise? Because it came true. It actually came true. And so we follow a man whose name is never used in past tense. You know why? Because he's alive. He's alive, right? I know you can't see him, but he climbed out of the grave for me and you. So this Easter weekend, you're going to be busy, right? Hopefully you spend time with your family and you do things with your kids, if you have them, you enjoy the weather, but take time at some point and celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know why? He paid the price that we should pay. Listen to this song right here, and we're going to have lyrics up. I'd love for us to sing along, and if we wouldn't mind, if we'd please stand.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Drenched in tears.
This time that we've been able to come and gather together, I pray throughout this week you would continuously remind us of your grace and the sacrifice that you paid on the cross for us. I pray that we would be empowered to live for you, even in the midst of chaos and challenge. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you guys for serving us. Thank you, Damon. And everyone, we hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.